Hey everyone, welcome to another brand new live episode of Strong Style here on the Outlaw Nation channel. I'm the Outlaw John Rocha, joined as always by my brother in pro wrestling over there, Aaron Turner. How are you, my man?
Doing well. A quick story, if I can.
This is sure, please.
We'll talk about a horror show.
What happened? So
I went to. Uh-oh. Oh, you're gone, but you can still hear me. So
oh, yeah, I can. What just happened? Go ahead. Keep going.
I was helping my father-in-law do some stuff earlier, and I left my house for about 2 hours, maybe two and a half. And I have three dogs in the house right now. Okay. Oof. I have my dogs, and we're currently taking care of my mother-in-law's dog. Everybody's cool. It's fine.
Right.
But it was storming, so my dogs a little nervous during storms. So I came back in, and there was poop everywhere, and that's to be expected. I guess that there would be poop everywhere. They get nervous during storms. It just happens. Well, what I didn't calculate for was that while I was gone, my Roomba is on like an automatic schedule, and it kind of just drug all the poop and pee all around the house. So
nasty.
It's a horror show, but I got it cleaned up. Oh, talk about awful. The Roomba may not make it.
Wow.
Is
this the new house too?
This is the new house. Yeah. So a bunch of dog crap.
Oh,
and pee all over the house. It's bad, but
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay. It was a horror show when I came in, but we'll be all right. I cleaned it up.
another reason I don't have pets, man. Woof, that's too much.
Yeah, just be careful. Be careful with the Roomba while you're gone.
Right on. Well, we're going to jump into some other messes here on Strong Style for sure. We're going to talk about all the wrestlers the WWE released recently, and which was just a huge shock right after WrestleMania. We're going to talk about the fallout from WrestleMania 37 and NXT Stand and Deliver, NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, and talk about some of the big news coming out of both of those shows and both of those subsequent after shows, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT on Tuesday night. It just debuted for the first time this week on Peacock. So a lot to get into for sure. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, we love to get your support here. So if you've got Streamlabs, Super Chats you want to send them in as we go along through the show. It's right there above Aaron's head, the address. It's also, I'm going to pin it to the chat in just a second, but it's also in the description of this video. So let's get into it. Let's have some fun. It's a Saturday afternoon. I got to sleep in a little bit, so I'm raring to go. Aaron, where are we going first, my brother?
Well, let's start by not having fun, and that is the multitude. 10 WWE talents got their walking papers, I believe it was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
Just very bad news for everybody involved here. I'm going to go down the list, and then we'll just have a eulogy for everybody. The first top of the list got to be Samoa Joe, which is very shocking. We'll talk about everybody here in just a second. So,
sure.
Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mickey James, Mojo Rawley, Chelsea Green, Tucker Knight, Kalisto, Bo Dallas, and Wesley Blake all were released on this usually happens about this time of year in WWE. It happened last year. It just seemed like a real kick in the nuts because of the pandemic and everything that was going on.
Right.
But they usually call it Black Monday, the Monday after WrestleMania, is when a lot of these releases go down. It just so happened that it was on the same day last year that everybody got their walking papers. Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, and among others, EC3, they got their walking papers. So not surprising, but I got to tell you, some of the people on this list do surprise me.
Yeah.
I look at, Wesley Blake, Bo Dallas, Tucker Knight, Mojo Rawley. These guys were not doing very much on television, so it doesn't really. You never want anybody to lose their job.
Let's
put that first and foremost. But these guys weren't doing too much on television as it was, so it doesn't surprise me that WWE let them go. Tucker Knight released ever since Heavy Machinery split up, when they split him and Otis up. It's just really never been the same for Tucker Knight. It looks like Otis has kind of found his footing in a new tag team with Chad Gable, so it looks fine.
Right.
Chelsea Green is one that I look at that kind of makes me scratch my head. Yeah, she was injury prone. She had two big injuries right away when they were going to give her a push. But that kind of surprised me that they weren't willing to go with her, especially in a women's division on the main roster that need talent. They need more talent than what they have. And I don't know when they're going to address that, but it's going to come down the line sometimes. Mickey James, a veteran release. That one did not surprise me because Mickey had been on TV for a long time. They hadn't been using Mickey. They used her as a color commentator.
Yeah.
She wasn't the best color commentator, I'll be honest with you. So It did make sense to let her go. I think wherever she goes, she'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the big ones that really just threw me for a loop.
Okay.
Samoa Joe, let's start there. Cause yeah. you know, we both have a healthy respect for Samoa Joe, I believe.
Absolutely.
I was enjoying what he was doing on commentary. I understand that his wrestling career had come to a halt due to some concussion issues and some injury issues. And if you believe the rumors, he was expressed his interest to WWE that he wanted to start wrestling again, mm-hmm. and they were not ready to clear him for such a thing. So if you believe the rumors, Joe may have actually asked for his release as opposed to getting released outright. So there's that. But that really did surprise me that Samoa Joe, a guy that probably should have been a world champion at some point in WWE, never really got there. Had some great matches with Brock Lesnar, really pushed Brock Lesnar to the limit. Of course, his matches with AJ Styles and John. I don't believe he had a rivalry with John Cena, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But he had some, you know, Seth Rollins and other guys that he had issues with. So talk to me about Samoa Joe. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably very few wrestlers I respect as much as I respect Samoa Joe and what he's been able to accomplish and how he's been able to move through the indies. And remember, as someone said this really, put it really perfectly when I was reading some of the reactions, remember when it was a dream to have Samoa Joe in the WWE? So we should be thankful that we even had him in the WWE for as much time as we did. And unfortunately, timing didn't work out for him to be in a position to hold the strap, the big straps there, and get a little bit of a run, even a 3-month run as champion. It didn't really work out. He was NXT champion, but then of course concussions and stuff. And the truth is, Joe's a big dude, man. You know, you hit a certain wall. He's been doing it for so long, Aaron. And his desire to get back in the ring, I get it. It's probably a hunger to be in there and feel the competition, be back in the locker room. But plenty of wrestlers have made that transition into becoming a commentator. Corey Graves has done an excellent job making that transition. I thought Taz was a damn good color commentator. Jerry Lawler, people forget he was a wrestler before he was a commentator. So Bobby Heenan, so many great, even Savage, when I go back and watch some of the old WWE stuff, I enjoyed Savage as a commentator. Piper was good, Jesse the Body. So there was a tradition here that maybe Samoa could have pushed a little harder for if the rumors are true that he wanted out because he wanted to go back to wrestling. They let him do WrestleMania, man. He was doing some matches at WrestleMania this past weekend. So overall, I thought he was moving into this other phase of his career, and to see him kind of being let go by the WWE. And if it's requested, then there must be something Joe still wants to prove in that ring. I just don't know what else there is to prove. The man's already a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. The fans love him to pieces. Finding the new place to go next is sometimes not easy for an athlete, but sometimes it's the best next move for you. Overall, you don't end up at Terry Funk at 72 years old still doing death matches, do you? It just doesn't make sense to me overall. Or Flair still doing it in his 60s, and you're like, this doesn't look realistic anymore. You know, I just don't see the point. Plus concussions, it could be real damaging because the guys are just getting bigger and stronger and healthier, and the moves and the slips and all of that can lead to something really tragic for him. So I'm surprised by it. But because he just did WrestleMania, but overall, I just hope he doesn't get hurt if his desire is to wrestle.
I think Joe probably looked at guys like Daniel Bryan, Edge, Christian, people that have come back from these catastrophic injuries and said, you know what?
That's fair.
I can do that. I can come back from that. And I think WWE is willing to take the chance on some people. And like you said, Joe is a big guy. Like it's not just, he's not Daniel Bryan. Like he's not,
or Edge.
Edge for that matter. And he's just, he's a bigger dude. They fall harder, and that's just how it goes sometimes. And I do want to see Joe back in the ring. And I hate to say this because everybody says, I feel like whenever WWE releases come up, everybody says it's like, oh God, he'd be a great tool in AEW. Mm. He would be a great tool in AEW. I think he would have some great matches in AEW. I think out of all the places that he could go, I think that's where he will get the most bang for his buck is in All Elite Wrestling. And it's not something I say lightly. I really mean that for Samoa Joe because I know that there is something still left in that tank. I mean, just the way that the guy, I was watching this clip of him and Brock Lesnar, and he's like the only dude that can get on the, like that got on the mic and like really got under Brock Lesnar's skin, like really pissed him off to the point where Brock Lesnar legit got in his face. Like, that's how good Samoa Joe is, and that's how good he can be for you. Yeah. And not only as a wrestler, but as a teacher. I mean, The guy's been around a long time. You mentioned that also. So why not be a teacher for the next generation? Samoa Joe could definitely be that guy for you. And he would be a good person to have in your stable as a commentator, as a teacher, as a wrestler, whatever you need Samoa Joe for. That's why I can't believe that WWE let him go. It's not that, you know, oh, he's a great commentator. Oh, he was a great wrestler, but he's not wrestling. We can get rid of him. He's such a good mind to have for the business that you should really keep him around. That's really what surprised me.
Yeah, and the irony too, and we have to give credit to our friend Ryan Satin. Ryan Satin reported this back in February of 2020 that Joe suffered the concussion at a commercial shoot, not even during a match, Aaron. It was during a commercial shoot through a table. This is like sneezing and ripping a rib while you're sitting at home having a barbecue with your wife out in the backyard. This is the these are these kind of unusual injuries that happen to athletes that you're just like, damn it. You know, he's just, how many table shots has he taken in his entire life? But for whatever reason, this is the one that kind of got him the concussion that put him on the sideline. And you wonder, and this is the two-way look, because I don't know what, if the rumors are true, as you just stated, it's the first time I'm hearing it, that he wanted to maybe get back in the ring. So he requested the release, because I don't know that winning an AEW title means a goddamn thing next to meaning winning a WWE title if you've already done it in the indies. If you've already done it in the smaller promotions, you're just going to add another belt to your legacy, but it isn't the WWE belt. And I think you bring up Daniel Bryan, you bring up Edge. These are great examples. Wait your turn, bide your time, be a commentator. Hell, they put Michael Cole in the ring, for fuck's sake. So there's possibilities if you just wait it out a little bit, and you're only 40. Wait it out. Hell, go to 42, resting, training, getting your physical fitness back up again, getting cleared by the doctors, you know, slowly move the process back up, and then they can work an angle for you to get back into the ring. The WWE always kind of spins around to commentators at some point and puts a Booker T has had matches, for God's sake. So this is the things that I think that maybe, I don't know if there's truth to the rumor that Joe wanted out. I think it's a bit of moving too quickly in this situation rather than just being patient and waiting it out and waiting for the opening to be there again for the WWE. But that being said, nothing says that Joe doesn't go down, proves he can still do it for 2 years at another promotion, and then comes back to the WWE in a surprise signing. That's also a possibility down the road.
Yeah, he could definitely come back to the WWE if he wants to wait it out that long. Absolutely. Yep. Well, let's go ahead and talk about, let's go ahead and talk about it, because it hurts. And the release, oh man, the release of, first it was Billy Kay, because they came out and said that it was Billy Kay and Mickie James were released. And that really punched me in the nuts, because
I think that was more surprising to me, but go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was the shocker, because it was like, oh God, Billy Kay. Oh my God. Why? And then I was like, well, okay, well at least Peyton Royce will be okay. And then a couple, like, I feel like an hour later, Peyton Royce was getting her walking papers. So I'm like, whoa, both of them. What the fuck? Like, what is going on here? Here's my issue. Like, make no bones about it. I'm a fan of the Iconics. I love what they do. I've loved them since NXT. They're hysterical. They make the most of every moment they're on television. Are they the best wrestlers? Absolutely not. And I will be the first person to admit that to you. But like I said, they make the most of their minutes when they're on TV. If they are nothing else, but if you watch a show and they're on it, probably the most entertaining thing you saw was Billy Kay and Peyton Royce doing something really funny. And it's really a gut punch, because Billy Kay had been on SmackDown, like had been on television a lot since she was doing the whole resume thing, like here's my resume, and doing all that kind of funny stuff. And, you know, she was on WrestleMania, and it just really surprised me that they, just really surprised me that they would let Billy Kay go, knowing how loved that she is. And there was a big, like, undercurrent, like a big fervor for Billy Kay to be the host of WrestleMania. Since she wasn't really originally on the card, there was a really big contingent for Billy Kay to be the host. And it would have worked. I think it would have been fantastic. Even if you had them both, it would have been fantastic. So, I mean, Billy Kay aside, like, that surprised me. And then you bring up Peyton Royce, who, yes, they split the Iconics up, and it was really, you know, really something, because together they are really great. But apart, I think they were starting to show that they could be something apart, like Billy Kay with the resume thing. Peyton Royce was starting to get more minutes on Raw, and she was showing that she could wrestle. She was the better wrestler of the two, hands down. Right. And she was starting to get better on the mic, and she was calling out Asuka, and she was being serious, and people were believing it. And people were getting behind Peyton Royce. Then all of a sudden, she doesn't have a WrestleMania match. We pull the rug out from her, and she's gone. So it really sucks, dude, because I've gone back and I've watched, like, you know, maybe in sadness, like I've watched Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, like, vignettes and stuff they would do that was just so funny and so entertaining. It just seems like these are two people that you want in your company, and they are well loved in your company. And I don't get it. I don't understand this one.
Yeah, I see some people in the chat that are accusing me of having something to do with this. And Xenar says, I hold Rocco personally responsible for the Iconics getting released.
You son of a bitch.
Drunken Monkey says, Rocco, what did you have to do with this? So I totally respect it, what you guys are feeling. But I tell you this, I never wanted them to be fired from the company. I just never felt that they should have had those tag team belts. That being said, and I was never a fan of them in the ring, but, you know, Aaron has worked on me. Certainly Ryan Satin before Aaron was certainly a big Iconics fan as well. And, you know, Aaron sent me a great match that Peyton Royce had in NXT, and I was blown away by what she could do in the ring versus what they were allowing her to show what she could do in the ring when they were heels, chicken shit heels, in essence, for lack of a better term, used in the business here. But I loved the split, actually. And you could tell they were really emotional about the split when it actually happened. But Billy Kay, I think a little more than Peyton Royce, had really made the most of it. Her comedy, her natural timing, her natural character work was coming through in aces, in spades. So it surprises me more that they let her go over Peyton Royce, you know. And I think Peyton Royce was slowly kind of working her way through this. And you have to ask yourself, what's the logic here, right? There are less competent wrestlers who are in the less competent female wrestlers who are in the WWE right now than Peyton Royce, than Billy Kay, in my personal opinion. There are wrestlers that they keep pushing up and giving opportunities just so they can lose title shots. I think you know where I'm going, than the Iconics. And so to me, it's shocking on so many levels. You've got the beautiful Peyton Royce, the funny Billy Kay. If you can't make it work, the problem's not them. The problem is you. And I think that's what's really coming through here, in my personal opinion, because finding a woman who knows how to play comedy in pro wrestling, that's a rarity. That's not a lot of women who would get the opportunity to do it, really nail it. And I thought she did a great job with it, Billy Kay, just like I felt Bayley did a great job at WrestleMania. And you mentioned it could have been funny to see Billy Kay and Bayley, you know, having their little interludes and vignettes there back and forth with people. That would have been really funny. Or you give Bayley, or you give Billy Kay Saturday and you give Bayley Sunday. It would have been very funny to see what they could do with their opportunities. And certainly Aaron, nothing kind of previewed this because she was not at WrestleMania, neither was Peyton Royce. They were let go, but Samoa Joe was calling matches and he was,
well, Billy Kay, Billy Kay was in a match.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. She was in the tag team match. You're right.
Yes.
But nothing shows you that, you know, they were going to go one way or another. So they gave them the opportunity. But it's a shock all around. I think the Billy Kay one, as I said, is the one I feel most shocked about. The Mickie James one, Mickie James makes sense to me. She's an older wrestler. She's done her thing. She's been injured. She had her shots overall, and she's got a great legacy, bro. She's got kids. She's done it all as a female wrestler, as a wrestler, sorry, period, regardless of gender. She's done it all. So for her to move on, I get it. But, you know, I got to ask you, bro, why her over Natty? Is it because Natty has a legacy? Why her over Tamina? Is it the legacy thing? Why her over Nia Jax? I would have fired Nia Jax. Not that I advocate anyone losing their jobs, but if I was going to let go anybody, I would let go those three wrestlers before I let go of Mickie James and the Iconics and even Chelsea Green. So to me, it's just shocking on so many levels. And I wonder if it's a salary situation. I wonder if maybe they felt they couldn't do anything with it creatively, or maybe they were complaining behind the scenes that they weren't getting a shot to do more. So this could be a blessing for them overall, for Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. The women were tweeting about them right afterwards. All the wrestlers were tweeting about them right after. So certainly they've got great reputation in the locker room. So I think they're going to look at Zelina Vega, look at Paige, spin off and create your own brand. There is a fandom here that if you create something really great, they will follow you. Yep. So I think this is the next step for both of them. Could be a blessing in disguise, Aaron.
Yeah, I look at, you know, you mentioned Tamina, and like I said, don't advocate for anybody losing their job, but I seriously take a good look. I took a good long, hard look at the women's roster, and I was like, you know, I guess if you want to look at active wrestlers like Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, we're kind of towards that cutting area. Mm-hmm. But I also look at somebody like, and I hate to say this too, because I've been really impressed with her work, but Carmella is somebody that I look at.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, okay, well, when budget cuts come next year, what do they call it? Budget cuts.
Yeah.
You know, Carmella maybe on the outside looking in, you know.
Yeah.
Some of these other people better watch their ass, because if they're going to get rid of Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, then you're going to have to really step it up, because they were beloved in this company. Like, not a joke. And there are some people in the company that probably should have been let go. I mean, let's look at Jackson Ryker, a guy that had spewed all this, you know, extreme right wing horse shit, really made it difficult for his other stable mates to make it in the WWE. Yeah. And they're both gone.
Right.
Which is very interesting. You look at somebody like, I mean, let's talk about it. You look at the Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream.
Down at NXT, and you say, well, what the fuck is going on here? Because we're going to keep this guy around, but we're not going to trim anybody else. Which was also interesting that they didn't let anybody go for NXT as of yet, because that's usually a place where, you know, the salaries are lower. You can trim a little bit there and save a little bit of money. So, once again, not advocating for anybody to lose their job. It just was very interesting that NXT didn't lose anybody, and we lost, you know, three or four or five very good talents on television that could have really helped bolster that women's division. It's really pissing me off, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I think a lot of fans had that reaction too, Aaron. So I totally respect and understand that. You know, if I look at this list, I know the big names there we've already spoken about, and we mentioned Chelsea Green as well, but I got to throw Kalisto in this mix too. It makes sense that they let him go, but once again, this is a failure in booking, in creative. Kalisto was a fantastic wrestler coming in. They tried to promote him, but they booked him on a bunch of boring storylines, a bunch of boring matches, a bunch of boring situations here, and he never really took off. And this is yet another example of how the WWE, when you look at the percentage of how many Latino talents they actually make work versus how many Latino talents come through their halls, or come through their doors rather, and walk their halls, it is incredibly the difference is massive. For every Rey Mysterio, there's 20 Kalistos. Yeah, you know, 30 Kalistos. It's insane how many times they've blown it with luchador wrestlers. And I think of WCW, and WCW made a killing for a few years getting the luchador libres in there, getting the cruiserweight division going. 205 Live has done hardly anything with luchadors, and that's where they can really shine. So to me, it's just shocking how they're just so phenomenally incompetent creative-wise in getting certain people over, especially from the Latino side of things or the luchador side of things. It's just mind-blowing to me. And Kalisto's yet another casualty. And there will be more, ladies and gentlemen. There will be more. You know, they let go of Andrade, right? Andrade's out, isn't he? Yeah, so it's just like, what the hell? They forced out Zelina. It's just this kind of approach to it, I think, is really tone-deaf. And they should work a little bit harder to make it happen. I'm glad that all these black wrestlers are getting the opportunity, way overdue, decades overdue, to sit there and hold belts for extended amounts of time and really get connected with the WWE fans. Well, now it's time for my brown brothers and sisters to get their opportunities as well, get to hold the belts, get to go on extended runs. I know we've had Eddie, I know we've had Ray, but we've had so many other ones who've come through the halls and not getting a chance to really have a good character created and good storylines and good booking that lead them to get over with the fans.
You make a great point. But here's a prediction that I'm going to have.
Yeah.
Okay. Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, I think will find their way back to WWE. You got 90 days. I think it'll be sooner than later, because I think the contingent's going to get louder and louder and louder with them being gone. And I think they might just sneak in and bring them back. Like, because, well, that's what I'm hoping, at least. That's like, you know, hindsight being 2020. I hope that actually happens for them. Real quick, Christian Ramos in the chat said, don't forget about Damian Priest, also a Latino.
Right.
Don't forget about Damian
Priest. But Damian Priest wasn't even the star of his own tag team wrestling match. That was Bad Bunny.
Yeah,
forgot Damian Priest was in that match.
But he was still in a big spot at WrestleMania.
But every article on Monday morning was Bad Bunny was incredible.
Bad Bunny.
Nobody spoke about Damian Priest.
Well, Damian Priest also had an injury. So that's
true.
He went into WrestleMania with an injury.
And Bad Bunny's Latino. So props to that situation for sure.
But hey, hop. Yeah, I just hope it all works out for everybody. We got 90 days to figure it out because that's your 90-day non-compete. So we'll see how that goes, and hopefully everybody ends up on their feet. I'm sure 95% of them will be fine and find work elsewhere. Some of them, I'm not sure. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't see any super chats in the chat. Please, ladies and gentlemen, send in your super chats, Streamlabs, as we go along. Got a couple of Streamlabs to get into. We got 69 of you all watching us live. Thank you so much. Please hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button there, and give us some love as you're watching it. And if you're watching us later, leave a comment down below. Thank you. Hill Nellums, good to see you, Hill. Great to see you the other night when Aaron and I were on the Outlaw Nation show. It was great to see you, Hill, come on in live and talk to us. By the way, if you want to watch that, that's up there too. If you want to watch it after this show, Aaron and I basically spoke about his experience attending both nights of WrestleMania, and we went through all the matches. So if you want to see an extended WrestleMania review between me and Aaron, you can go and watch it on the Outlaw Nation show. It dropped this past Tuesday, so it's up here on this channel to go watch it after this if you like. Hill said, I think Samoa Joe got the Macho Man treatment at the end of his WWE run, wanting to come back, doing everything asked of him, and then nothing. Wow. Wow, what do you think about that,
Aaron? That sounds about right, Hill. That really sounds like the Macho Man, because, you know, he did the commentary stuff. He wanted to wrestle again. You know, he wanted to have a feud with Shawn Michaels, and they said, we're good. We're good. Yeah. You just go on to WCW. We're good. I don't know if it's that cold, because it feels like the Macho Man, that was pretty cold how they did him.
Yep.
Samoa Joe, it seems like they really liked Joe, and it seems like they really wanted to give him a chance, but they weren't willing to risk his injury history again. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We could see him again. Like you said, we could see him rehab and, you know, work out for the next couple of years or a year and a half. And then he may end up back in WWE. We'll just see.
You never know. Always hold out hope. Cause Vince is the perfect example of never say never. Always. He is the perfect example. Justin, thank you, Hale, for the very kind donation. Appreciate it, brother. Justin says, of the released talent, Samoa Joe, Peyton, and Billy Kay hurt the most. Iconics deserved better. On the plus side, NXT and Dynamite were pretty good this week. Still have issues with some booking and women's division stuff, but overall, Dynamite is entertaining. Aaron?
I agree. I agree that Dynamite's entertaining. I'd like seeing Jade Cargill again. I thought she impressed once again in her match with Red Velvet. I think she's really something. She's being trained by Dustin Rhodes, which I wasn't aware of until this week, so good for her. That's a good teacher to have. So as long as they can keep bolstering that women's division, and here in 90 days they may bolster it again, it could be good for AEW going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Really interesting, too, to see. Where do you think they're going to end up as we move forward? And thank you, Justin, for that Streamlab. And please keep sending them in. Got it pinned to the chat, the address. It's in the description right above Aaron's head as well. Where do you see Chelsea going? Do you think AEW is the spot? Where do you see Mickey James going? Is Impact in motion here? Somebody mentioning in the chat they think Samoa Joe is going to go and take that Impact belt. Do you think there's any surprises here down the road from these people ending up in certain promotions that you didn't think they would end up in?
As I look at the list, I think that Samoa Joe makes the most sense in AEW. I kind of already talked about that. You know, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, I think they would be great either as a pair in AEW or as a pair in Impact. I think Impact would give them more creative freedom to do their gimmick in Impact. I think they would be great. They could be like a new version of the Beautiful People. Like, how great would that be if they kind of figured out how to do that? That was a very successful stable that Impact Wrestling had for a long time. Mickey James, I mean, let's not forget that her husband is the head or the top guy in the NWA. So look out. You may see Mickey James in the NWA for a little bit, and I could see her going to Impact again since they're under new ownerships, different people.
Good point.
It's a different time.
Right.
Chelsea Green, probably a lock for AEW, if not Impact. Let's not forget that her fiance works for Impact, so they will work together. Everybody else, as far as I see, like Tucker Knight, I could see is somebody that gets an Impact contract because I really like what Tucker Knight could do.
Right.
And shout out to him on the day of his release saying basically things happen and taking a video of him on a golf course smoking a joint. Shout out to him. Bo Dallas, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if Bo Dallas will be seeing him very much anymore. I know that he's like into farming. He's going out with Liv Morgan, so there's two wins right there.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. Not a lot of people know that. Him and Liv
Morgan. Respect, Bo.
Yeah, respect.
Let you win. So, I appreciate it. Yeah, go ahead.
Wesley Blake is a guy that I could see showing up in Impact. I mean, they or AEW as well. The one half of the of FTR, Dax Harwood, said that Wesley Blake is a modern day Bobby Eaton. Like, he's just that good. So you could see him pop up. It just depends. Like, I hear that the dude has an attitude issue. So you may want to. They want to put that in under wraps, but
what, wrestlers have attitude issue. I've never heard of that.
Can't believe that
everyone's ever had a fucking attitude issue. Man.
We'll see how that goes. But I mean, that's pretty much where I see everybody else going. Just you know, Kalisto, I think, would be good in Impact in the X division. I think he'd be great. So just I think like I said, I think 95% of these people will be fine.
You know, and let me throw this out here. Fightful Select, I don't know how legitimate Fightful Selected is.
Pretty good.
All right, let me give them. They said Kay's release came as a surprise to many backstage, as Billy Kay were talking about, much like it did for the fans. The report notes that WWE executive producer Kevin Dunn, quote, didn't get Billy Kay and had verbalized that he thought she had a ceiling as to how far she could go. All right, Aaron, they also reported that she was beloved in the locker room, as was Peyton Royce. But what's your thoughts on Kevin Dunn not getting Billy Kay? Does this make any fucking sense?
Let me quote Jim Cornette in my Jim Cornette voice about Kevin Dunn, because this is what he says about Kevin Dunn. You Bugs Bunny looking motherfucker! Like, Kevin Dunn is a jack-off, and Kevin Dunn should have been gone a long time ago. Kevin Dunn is the guy that every time he saw the upskirt shots of Stacey Keibler, and like he's the guy that would call those shots, like, show more of her ass and stuff like that.
Of course.
So fuck Kevin Dunn. He's a prick, and he needs to be gone. If you can't see the potential in Billy Kay, someone that you've put time into, like TV time is very valuable, and you put it into her every single week, and you don't get it, and she's over like Rover, brother, you're the problem. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's a shame to read that. And this is life. This is life, man. And this is the sad truth. If a certain human being who's in a position of power just doesn't vibe with who you are as a person, it's not going to work out. And that's just how it is. And if you don't suck their dick or kiss their ass, then you don't get to move up the chain. Ooh. And I don't mean that literally, obviously. I mean that figuratively. If we're talking about a male-female situation, I mean that figuratively. If you don't do these things, then sometimes it can be an issue. And I wonder if maybe Kevin Dunn had some designs on Billy Kay, and Billy Kay shut that shit down quick, and maybe that affected him. Who knows? But I mean, is that going too far?
I think that's too far, but I'm not in on that one.
I don't know anything about that. I'm just throwing it out there. But the thing is, if you don't get somebody, it's just surprising if you're in a position of power to do such a thing. So who knows? We'll see down the road if it actually ends up being something that comes up and bites him in the ass. But who knows? I mean, you know, we see this all the time with certain people not getting certain things. And those people move on and do incredible work for another organization or in another walk of life, because those people got that person and what they were trying to do. So just because someone doesn't get what you do, I'm saying this overall for anybody who's listening or watching, just because someone in positions of power or people in positions don't get who you are or what you're all about, it doesn't mean you don't have value. It doesn't mean that you don't or you can't succeed at what you want to do. Just get out from under people who don't respect what you bring to the table. Tell him, thank you for the opportunity. Fuck off and go and do your thing, man. That's the goal. That's the thing in life, you know. So hopefully Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, Mickie James, Samoa Joe, all of them, you know, land on their feet and do great work and move forward in a positive manner. So, yeah. All right. Maybe I went too far. I apologize, Kevin Dunn and Billy Kay.
Let's move forward. Fuck Kevin Dunn, but okay.
Bugs Bunny looking motherfucker. All right. Anything else to wrap up this section of the conversation, brother man?
This makes me sad. That's all. It just makes me real sad.
I totally understand that, my man. We've got a couple of super chats that have rolled through. Let's bring them up on the screen. And please keep sending in your super chats to Streamlabs. We've got over 80 of you watching us here live as we talk about this. So thank you so much for joining us. Please hit that like button, but leave a comment, leave a super chat and a Streamlab as well if you want us to talk about your question in particular. Grimash, good to see you, Grimash. He says, so Dabo Kato is now Aziz? WWE thinks we're dumb. Yeah, this has been an interesting thing coming out of wrestling. Maybe we should transition into our WrestleMania 37 Fallout conversation. Aaron, this is absolutely true. Michael Cole and all of them were like, who is this guy? Who is this crazy person? And it's like, dude, we just saw him in WWE Underground, but I guess they're trying as the WWE sometimes does, they try to make you forget what they just did a few months ago and may have you grab onto the new storyline. What'd you think about this?
I mean, it's cool that they put they gave Apollo a heater. What doesn't make a lot of sense, though, is why didn't they give him Almost? Because here's something. Here's something crazy. Go with me on this. Almost is Nigerian. What a thought to put a Nigerian with a Nigerian. I can't believe it. But, yeah, Dabakato as this General Aziz horseshit. I don't know who came up with this, why this happened, why he couldn't just be Dabakato, that dude from Raw Underground, and that, you know, the story was that Apollo Crews is like super rich and just hired him to be his bodyguard. Like, that's fine. Why does he have to be like this Nigerian sympathizer? I don't understand it. It's stupid. Yeah. Please, I'm not that dumb. Like, don't insult me.
Yeah, we're going back to the days, to the heydays of the 80s and 90s, where the Iron Sheik was all of a sudden from Saudi Arabia. So these are the things that you see that you're just like, come on, man. We can't go back to the shit from the 80s. I loved Apollo Crews now getting the belt. I enjoyed the match. It wasn't the best match, but I enjoyed it. It was good. It just wasn't great. But I like him. I like the new gear. I like the new approach. I dig it. You start throwing this caricature stuff in here, and you're going to really undercut it. There is a tightrope you have to walk when you do stuff like this nowadays in the 2020s. There's a tightrope you walk, and if you fall off that tightrope, it is a long fall. And by that, I mean the creative, because you will get pilloried on social media and by wrestling fans and by people who are a little more aware and socially conscious about the world. Having this whole thing with a general, I get it, but I think it just, it harkens too much back to those goofy days of the 80s and 90s when we did stuff like this and could veer into the section of racism about this, and you don't want to see that happening for sure, but we'll see.
Well, apparently Dabakato is half Nigerian, so apologies.
Oh, all right.
Apologies, so it's fine. But Almost is 100%, so go on.
All right. What's going on? Let it work. Let it work. I appreciate that. J-Dog says, Mania was a blast despite the weather on night one and the disaster that was the opening match in night two. I can cross it off the bucket list. Finally. Oh, J-Dog, Jay was there? Nice.
Yeah, what's up, J-Dog? Awesome. Why didn't you say hello? What's going on, dude?
But yeah, what's up, man?
But anywho, yeah, for the most part, it was great. Like, we didn't get rained on. It was fine. Yeah, had a great time. The weather was great for both nights. Like, once it stopped raining, it was fine. So it was nice and enjoyable. My wife didn't know it was outside, which was really funny. Like, my wife thought it was at the arena where the Lightning play, the Amalie Arena.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's at Raymond James. She's like, it's outside? And I said, yeah, it's like, it's always outside pretty if they can. So, yeah, it was a good time.
I appreciate that. Yeah, shout out to your wife there. Yeah, Jay, absolutely. I'm glad you had a good time, brother. I will hopefully cross it off my bucket list next year and get a chance to go in L.A. It'd be a lot of fun.
Year after next.
But I still might try to go to the Dallas one. That's for sure. I can't think of a better place to have a first WrestleMania than deep in the heart of Texas. I would not go there. You go. I'd like to see what that experience is going to be like. And I've got some friends in the Texas area. Might be cool to roll in and see it. And I'm sure I've got some Outlaw fans in the Texas area for sure. That could be a lot of fun to hang out with and go see the show. All right. Christian Ramos joined here. He said, Hollywood showrunners change every so often. WWE have had the same showrunners since the 90s. Why bring back John Laurinaitis? Respectfully speaking, WWE/Peacock needs new blood in the office, as well as give Hunter a chance to make talent decisions, not John Laurinaitis. Yeah, what is the problem here, Aaron? What is the wall between Vince and Triple H that somehow Triple H is not being handed the keys to the kingdom? Everybody loves what he's doing outside of the executive halls of the WWE, and maybe some of the executives in the WWE love what Triple H is doing or has done. Why aren't they handing it? Why are they bringing back relics like John Laurinaitis? Why are they letting Kevin Dunn do the things he's doing? Why don't they just put Triple H in charge of all this stuff, cleaning a house, a new, younger approach to the WWE that will work overall? Is it a fear? Is it the old man afraid of the young lion coming in to take the pride? Is that what this is all about? So he surrounds himself with his older, decrepit lions? Like, what is the situation here?
I think Vince likes to surround himself with yes men. And I think that's what he's done here with, you know, he's got Kevin Dunn in his pocket. He's got John Laurinaitis in his pocket. John Laurinaitis kisses more ass than anybody. So you know that Vince loves to have that guy around. Like, he doesn't have these people that defy him, like JR or, you know, Pat Patterson even would probably question Vince on some things. So without that, you need your yes men around you to kind of, you know, the old man's going to hang on as long as he can. Yeah. And that's just how it's always going to be.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, he is. He's going to hold on to it for it. That's a great point, as long as he can. All right, I think that was... All right, King Nirvana 24. Thank you, King Nirvana. Appreciate it. And thank you, Christian Ramos, for your donation too. He said, are the firings under John Laurinaitis? Because he's back as head of talent relations with Jim Cornette. Also hates together with... Jim Cornette also hates him together with Kevin Dunn. Yeah, do you think John Laurinaitis made these decisions? Or do you think this is Vince... making decisions and John just had to make the calls? What do you think happened?
If you believe the rumors are true, he made the call. He made the decisions. So he's the guy that's looking up and down the roster saying this person could go, this person can go.
Wow.
So
Laurinaitis made the decision.
Laurinaitis. If you believe that, I don't know if that's true, but if you believe that, he's the guy that does that and makes the calls. So there you go.
Okay. Yikes. All right. That's a rough one for me. Jesus. Yeah. It's
weird. Hey, Billy Payton, you're fired.
I don't get it. You're not the Bellas. You gotta go.
You're not my daughter-in-laws.
So. You're not my daughter. You guys are nope. I don't like it. Nothing you're doing. Mickey James. All right, anyway, let's move on. Roberto Arsenal says, I like the Iconics, but the women's division is stacked. There is no weak link. So any woman who was released would be seen as controversial because of the amount of talent they have in that division. Roberto, I hate to break it to you, but I don't agree with you, my man. I think there are a number of people they could have. They've tried to make Lana work for how long? I don't necessarily think Lana should be let go, but that's a conversation you can have. Certainly, where's the Nikki Cross part of this whole situation? She was great with Alexa, but hasn't really been getting over Solo herself. Nia Jax, I think you could have absolutely walked away from him. We already talked about a number of other people. I mean, Dana Brooke, is she really making it work with Mandy Rose? Mandy Rose can work with anything, but is Dana Brooke really making it work with Mandy Rose? She's had a number of opportunities. So I wouldn't say it would be controversial to release Tamina or Natalya or Dana Brooke or Nia Jax or some of these other women. Not that they should be, all right? I want to make it clear. Not that they should be. But in comparison to the controversy over the Iconics, I don't think anything would have matched. Anybody could have released of the people that I just named would yet generate anywhere near the controversy that the Iconics did. What do you think, Aaron?
I see the point that Roberto's making, and I do agree with some of it, because I think that if you, no matter who got released out of the division, like I talked about, like if you go down the list, I guess I could see where Billy Kay and Peyton Royce were kind of at the bottom of that list. I guess I could see that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like he said, like it's going to cause controversy, because if you get rid of Carmella, she's got a good fan contingent. You get rid of Lana, she's got a nice fan contingent. A lot of these women do. That's just the nature of the business. Right. It's just the way that this happened. It just doesn't make sense, because, you know, like we said, like we talked about ad nauseum, Billy Kay was on TV for so long. Peyton Royce, maybe not as much, but just the way that this was done, it just feels like such bullshit. And even Naomi is somebody that I look at and I'm like, man, Naomi may not be safe the next time that these cuts come around.
Yeah. Naomi and Carmella, I think, are two people you've brought up that's absolutely true, bro.
It's just two people I look at and I'm like, I love Naomi. She's very talented. I like what she does, but is she going to stick? Or if they get rid of the Iconics, who are, you know, beloved and on television all the time, like what are they going to do with the people that aren't on television or beloved next time around?
Yeah, that's a good point. Aaron Entertainment says breaking up the Iconics was such a bad idea. Yeah, do you think that's what might have led to this situation, brother? Breaking them up and because I mean they seem to be doing okay solo, but I mean the breaking them up was kind of a surprise creative decision because they were still kind of getting over with the fans, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Every time they would pop up together or separate, people just love the Iconics. Mm-hmm. They just love being around them. If you saw Bailey, Bailey posted on Twitter, they were watching, or she was watching some of the matches from the crowd at WrestleMania. Yeah. And who was she with? Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, because that's like two of her girls. So it's just, I can't tell you like how much it stings. Like I keep talking about it, but it just makes no sense. And you look at the way that wrestling is going right now, like, in Tommy Dreamer, we talked about that on the Outlaw Nation. Like Tommy Dreamer had made this post about Tamina, about how the crowd was really into Tamina at WrestleMania, which which I believe was not true. No, I think we're seeing different things. But if you're going to have Tamina as your top person, you just have Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and you have Raquel Gonzalez as your champions, your big champions, who are all super young.
Yeah.
And I don't think that a, you know, and I'm not being ageist, but like an older Tamina Snuka is going to be your top person. So I don't understand why we're not cutting people that just aren't going to make it to that level. Like Billy Kay and Peyton Royce never really had a chance. Like they were tag team champions, but they never really were given the chance to take it to that next level and run with that ball.
Yeah.
People like Tamina have, Daddy has. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, it just makes me angry every time I think about it.
Also, how does it make any sense budget cuts wise? They just signed a $1 billion deal.
It's fucking bullshit.
With Peacock. This is the thing at the end of the day. What is the real reason behind this kind of stuff? You know, and I don't know, man. I know I get a bit emotional about this kind of stuff because I think that businesses who lay off high profile people like this or members of the that have been around for a while, they got to offer documentation for the reasons for this situation, right? And I know it was, oh, I should be allowed to run my business I see fit. Sure, but you're getting, you know, you're getting people buy stocks. People, they should be able to call this shit to order and look at the books and be like, I want to see the books that makes it legitimate for you to drop this person. Let me see the salaries. Let me see the financials and all of that jazz for this decision, or else just own up to it and just say, didn't think it was working out. We let them go. That's a better thing to say, a more honest thing to say than budget cuts, right? CM Punk called out Laurinaitis and Triple H on budget cuts years ago during one of the most infamous promos there that felt a little too damn real, brother. So you know, a lot of people know what budget cuts actually means. It's the same thing as creative differences that you hear, or exhaustion, those things you hear in any entertainment venue for sure, or entertainment field. What do we got here, my man? What are we up to next?
Do you want to talk about the WrestleMania fallout just for a minute?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's talk about some WrestleMania fallout.
All right, so of course I was there, yada, yada, yada. But WrestleMania happened. It was a big thing. And in my opinion, night one was better than night two. Like John said, go check out the Outlaw Nation episode. We talk really in depth about WrestleMania. But I just wanted to bring up something because you didn't get really to talk about it that much. So I kind of wanted to just say that, like, my favorite moment of the night, or probably the whole thing, other than Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal, was Bad Bunny. And Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison. I thought it was super entertaining, and I just really loved everything about it. The Miz and John Morrison are, you know, aces in my book. They deserve everything in this world. They deserve to be world champions after the way they put Bad Bunny over. Just everything about that was great. So that's my standout moment of WrestleMania.
I think you're 1,000% correct to pick a moment like that. It was fantastic. See, a lot of people, even with all the hype about, oh, he moved to Orlando, he trained, blah, 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 people were still like, and he got in the ring and he did his thing and he was great. And, you know, there were other people that were hyped up, other people that people were excited to see on both nights that didn't quite get the job done overall. Bad Bunny came away with this thing from this thing with even more respect from the wrestling community, even more respect probably from some of the wrestlers, and certainly even more respect with his fan base that was already built into the situation, plus getting to promote his tour. Just overall genius for Bad Bunny to be a part of this whole situation. If you're asking me for my favorite moments, I think the hair whip from Bianca is one of the most incredible moments I've ever seen. I thought that was just, whoa, like just a moment that makes you just shoot up out of your chair. I thought the bro kick, or the kick from Sheamus, that kick into Matt Riddle was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that stood out for me. Certainly seeing Bianca win, it's bittersweet for me because I love Sasha to pieces. I love, and when the women were coming down, we just saw that on NXT this past week, when they all came down and held up the belts, I couldn't help but think, wow, already it's time for a changing of the guard already. It seemed like yesterday it was Sasha and Bayley and Becky and Charlotte. And now it's Raquel and Bianca and Rhea. So it's just like crazy to think about how quickly the cycle turns, brother. And Who knows if down the road Sasha will be getting that belt back on her shoulder? I hope so, because she's been great through the pandemic. Let's see. It was great to see the NWO get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Nice to see them get a little bit of love. And at least this time, Kevin Nash gave him a too sweet to Hogan when he came out for the Hall of Fame introductions overall. But yeah, those are some of the moments that stand out for me. And the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match was everything you could have possibly wanted and more. And so I was very happy about all of that. But of course, the number one thing is the triple threat match. Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Edge. Brother, that match was everything I wanted it to be. And I, again, I'll say this like I said in Outlaw Nation, I don't understand the people complaining about Jey Uso. That was built into the match. I had all kinds of expectations that he would find a way to influence that match in certain critical moments. It's a great way to keep the idea of who's going to win a question mark throughout the whole match. So, I mean, Edge was incredible emotionally. His acting through the whole match, him telling the story of his journey through the match was powerful. Daniel Bryan was great. And Roman Reigns is at this position now as the head of the table, Aaron, where he can let the two other guys be the stars in a match that he is in as the champion, because he's already firmly established as the champion. So it all worked out, and I loved the match, and I loved the way it ended. You know, we've kind of given WWE some guff and creative some guff, but having the nuts and the stones to let Reigns win in the final match of a WrestleMania match when it's supposed to usually be the face that wins, I thought was a gutsy decision, and it really, really worked.
Acknowledge him as yes. the head of the table.
He's the head of the table, son.
And what did he say? He was going to beat him down. He's going to stack him up. He's yep. going to pin him 1, 2, 3, and that's exactly what he did. So.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, love it. Anything more from that night, those two nights for you?
J-Dog said he was in section, what'd you say, 335, J-Dog? Yeah, I was in section 340. Like, what the
heck? Oh, my God.
Come on, brother. Like, why did we not cross? But, yeah, seriously, even in, like, the section I was at, you could hear that hair whip.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's business, dude. It sounded really good.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
Excellent spot.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Eric put this up. I want to put this comment of his up. So much, Eric Conley, so much passion for these job losses. They got paid a lot of money to wrestle and travel. Wish we could get that much passion for the pay/jobs of the folks who aren't so front and center. Eric, I absolutely respect your point of view, but I have to tell you, if you think they're just showing up to wrestle, you're insane. The amount of work that these people put in to become professional wrestlers, to be good at their jobs, it is not a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job. These people are working multiple hours every day, well past 8 hours sometimes, on their branding, on their work in the ring, on their fitness, and then performing an entire night, and then getting into the car, driving back to the hotel, trying to sleep, waking up in the morning, and they're back on the road again to the next house show. So these people work really, really hard. When we're back to a regular WWE schedule, these people work incredibly hard. But I get your point. Certainly other people, doctors, what have people who've lost jobs, absolutely deserve some recognition and some love, but it's not the same kind of thing. So because people aren't watching them perform their job on TV, on pay-per-views. So it's just a different situation, Eric. We can feel this way about the WWE wrestlers, and we can also feel the same way about the people who are losing their jobs in other fields as well. But we don't do YouTube shows about them because those YouTube shows aren't the same thing. So just letting you know, Eric, but I appreciate your passion, brother, honestly. All right, where are we off to next, my man?
All right, now we're talking about Alexa Bliss. Kind of revealed why she betrayed the Fiend at WrestleMania. That was probably the low point of WrestleMania for me, was Alexa Bliss betraying the Fiend and him eating an RKO in a 1-2-3. So we get a vignette with Alexa Bliss on her swing, and great gear, by the way. And she was talking about how maybe she never needed the darkness all along, and that maybe the female is the stronger of the species and all this kind of good stuff. Hey, that's whatever. And then she introduced us to her new friend, Lily, who looked like a female version of the Fiend. And she says, their fun is just beginning. So what do you think about this sort of change for Alexa Bliss breaking away from the Fiend?
I saw it coming a mile away. I told you this way back when they started. First of all, I predicted that she would turn on the Fiend for sure. But I told you way back when this angle first started, that Alexa didn't need The Fiend. The Fiend needed Alexa. Bray Wyatt needed Alexa. And I just had this feeling the whole time that eventually it would be Alexa who eclipsed him in his own storyline, in his own gimmick, and it has come to pass. Let me tell you, when you got to understand how things work in life. And sometimes, no matter how great you are at what you do, someone else has way more prestige, charm, is over more than you are. And Alexa has always been over than almost everyone she's been in a storyline with. Almost everyone she's been in a storyline with. Whether you want to complain about her wrestling, which I don't understand, whether you want to complain about her character work or whatever, Alexa is a fucking star. They put her solo on thumbnails on the WWE stuff. That tells you who they think are the stars. And so she is absolutely a bona fide star. Bray has, you know, had these stops and starts and these great runs, and then boom, out of nowhere, they just completely bury him with multiple losses. And they did the same thing at WrestleMania 37, Aaron. I think they decided creatively, he's not selling it. He's not giving us what we need. Let's turn this around, make him the kind of castrated male in this situation, and let Alexa run with this thing. And maybe in the long run, what they're trying to do is turn the Fiend into a face, and in a way, maybe get him over and try to get him over one last time with the fans. But if he had beaten Randy Orton and Alexa had helped him do so, he'd have been so over like crazy. So this logic after the burning situation, it doesn't make sense to make this turn so quickly overall, but I'm not surprised that Alexa gets a new storyline to play with, gets something more to do, because she's a star and they're going to find ways to give her a million opportunities to do things and run with them, brother. They just love her. It's evidence, you know?
Yeah, I'm happy for her, but it's like 50-50 booking, man, because like you build up Alexa, but you kind of took away Bray Wyatt.
Absolutely.
That sucks. Yes. That really sucks. And if you watch like the Firefly Funhouse, they brought it back because it's the first Firefly Funhouse in like 4 or 5 months because Bray's been gone. But
right. He
said, you know, I thought that she was my friend and like all that kind of stuff. And right. He kind of barely acknowledged that it happened, but he said like, I'm on to new things. It's a new season. It's a new me. So I think that like, we're going to get another development of that Fiend character. I think we may not see the Fiend for a little bit. Like we may just get Bray Wyatt because of just the way that, the way that they said it. Like he said, oh, you know, like, it's a new me, like it's going to be different. There's going to be new friends in the fun house. It's going to be a different Bray Wyatt. And I was like, okay, we'll see how it goes. And then, you know, with Alexa Bliss, eventually that's going to come to a head where somebody's got to go. There you go. Alexa Bliss is going to eventually, you know, go back to being the Alexa Bliss that she was before.
Yeah.
So that's just how it's going to have to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be, I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be fun.
You think it's going to be fun? All right.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be worth the wait, dare I say.
I like this idea, Preacher Bray Wyatt.
That's pretty much what he was on the Funhouse. It was pretty good. It was like 2.5 minutes on the Firefly Funhouse, but it was actually really cool. And maybe
you got to create space for this possibility because there are a lot of possibilities in the world. Maybe Bray himself was kind of done with the Fiend gimmick, not knowing where to go with it. It kind of run its course. There's only so many times you're going to say, let me in. And he was not being lined up to get a shot at the title. So it was going to be, you know, kind of sitting around underneath shots at the title and doing programs there. And maybe he felt there must be some new ways to explore this. And then down the road, when it opens up again, he can come back as the Fiend, or when an opportunity opens up again for him to become the Fiend, he'll come back as the Fiend and head towards the belt possibly. But again, not surprised that Alexa eclipsed him in her own storyline, just like she did Nikki Cross, just like she's done Mickey, just like she did Mickey James. She just eclipses everyone she works with overall, brother, man. She just has that charm and that talent, and there's really not much you can do about it. Maybe I think Becky Lynch and, of course, and some of the other male wrestlers, to be honest with you, I think Alexa would overshadow almost every male wrestler except maybe Roman. To be honest with you, I think she has that, and maybe AJ, but even AJ, I don't know. It'd be hard. Interesting point. Yeah. I think it's like Becky and Alexa. It really is. And I know people love Charlotte, but also people hate Charlotte. I mean, the reaction to Charlotte coming out and hitting Asuka and Rhea during the match on Raw, people were hating it online, bro. So I don't know, man. I don't know. But I just think it's Becky and Alexa at this point in terms of popularity with the fans, you know? So,
yeah, I think you're right.
All right, where are we up to next, my man?
All right, so we're going to conclude with some NXT stuff. Of course, Stand to Deliver happened and all that kind of good stuff. And like I predicted, Kushida defeated Santos quicker than I expected, but Kushida defeated Santos Escobar to become the new cruiserweight champion right off the heels of Escobar winning that really good ladder match that he had at TakeOver with Jordan Devlin.
Yeah.
Dude, did you see this coming? Because I was shocked.
I thought when we did our predictions for NXT TakeOver, we said if Kushida doesn't win, he's finished. Who knew that they were going to give him the belt like the next night that they had NXT action after that pay-per-view? Pretty shocking, bro. And so quickly. So what does this mean for Escobar? It's great for Kushida because then he gets to establish himself a little more in NXT. But what does it mean for Escobar? Is this the jump? Is he moving now? Is that what you think is happening?
Yeah. I think this frees him up to go for the North American Championship, the NXT Championship. Gets him out of that cruiserweight bubble.
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, I think that Santos Escobar is the guy they wanted Andrade to be. Like, the guy is bilingual. The guy can perform great in the ring, looks great, well-respected. I think that's what they're going for. I think they're going to be pushing him more towards the upper part of the card.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's absolutely where they're going as well. If they don't move him to Raw or SmackDown, then absolutely this is the next move for him to start going for the bigger belts and kind of laying claim to those and seeing what he can do in those programs, seeing what he can do in those matches. Will he get over with the NXT fan base and the WWE Universe fan base? Overall, we shall see. But pretty shocking stuff. What else stood out for you from NXT, brother?
Well, we had the new NXT Women's Champion, Raquel Gonzalez, after she defeated Io Shirai at Stand and Deliver. Pretty good match there.
Yeah.
She was interrupted by a debuting of now known as Frankie Monet, formerly known as Taya Valkyrie.
Talk to me. Talk to me. LA Knight, Frankie Monet, talk to me.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal about LA Knight. And, you know, I love Eli Drake. I love the guy. I love the name Eli Drake. LA Knight, to me, it took like maybe 3 weeks for me to get used to it, and I'm fine with it because he could, like, Eli Drake, because he does the point. Now he can do LA Knight.
That's
still
true.
It still works out the same way. It's fine. So when Frankie Monet got punched in my face, I said, this is stupid. And then because Taya Valkyrie is such a unique name, like nobody else is named Taya. No one else is named Taya Valkyrie. Like, that's a great name. And then I was reading what Taya said on Twitter. She was like, listen, I know we like the name Taya Valkyrie. It's great. It's been my name for 10 years. But it's not like I didn't get to choose my name. I got to choose Frankie Monet. I chose Monet because of the French painter.
Oh.
And I chose Frankie because I like unisex names. So it could go either way. So not a lot of people are named Frankie.
Respect.
And there's nobody named Monet. So I went with Frankie Monet. It's unique. It's different.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of me, you will go along with me on this journey. So I said, okay, Frankie Monet, I will go with you on this journey.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting name for sure. It's a memorable name, just like Taya Valkyrie. And I like a little culture being thrown into WWE. I'm a fan of a little culture thrown into pro wrestling. I was just watching a documentary on the Royals before I started doing pro wrestling. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of culture, damn it, with your pro wrestling. So I respect the Taya referenced Monet. That's awesome. And playing with the Frankie. I was hoping she'd say Frankie Kazarian, but apparently she thinks it's just a unisex name.
It's a unisex name.
Yeah, but I love it. I dig it. I think it's great. Let her, because really, a name is a name. It's what you do in the ring that's going to matter. And so if she's great in the ring, then the name itself will become something people chant. And you can chant Monet, Monet, Monet. That's pretty awesome. Or Frankie. So all of that works for her overall. So yeah, you know, and I like that she got her, I like that she got to pick her name. Like, that's agency that you have to give these wrestlers if you're going to take away their names that they're known for and really established with the fans. When they move in the WWE, got to give them the agency to pick their own name that works for them, because they're going to have to get behind that name and really make it work, not just in the ring and not just presentation-wise, but also on social media. So,
I like to think that she named herself Frankie because of Coco Beware's parrot, but they're a parakeet, so whatever. But also, like, let's end with this, because this was a cool moment. Right after Raquel Gonzalez said that she was going to stick that dog up her culo, which I don't know what that means in Spanish. I assume that means butthole.
Yes,
but, it is. Okay. But then Raquel Gonzalez was joined by Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair for this cool moment where they were all there holding their world titles.
Yeah.
And it showed that picture of them from the Mae Young Classic from a couple of years ago where they're even younger than before. And now look at them. They're all world champions. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty awesome to see all three ladies holding the belt. 1,000% agree with you. I wanted to bring up the picture and see if I could get it up for us, but maybe I can't in time. We have some Streamlabs that have come through as well. Let's hit these. And if you want to send them in now. We got a few minutes left in the show. If you want to send in any comments you want us to answer, any questions you want to answer, do it now. Streamlabs above Aaron's head. It's also in the chat, pinned in the chat. And in the description of this video as well. Justin Toner said, I watched SmackDown last night and Pat McAfee on commentary was a breath of fresh air. Great lines. And you can see how much he loves wrestling. Happy is on there full time with Cole. It will help the show. Well, what'd you think about that, bud?
I really like Pat McAfee. I didn't think I was going to, but I actually ended up liking him quite a bit on commentary. Mm-hmm. Not the biggest fan because, you know, WVU, so screw him. But, he did a great job for a guy that doesn't do this for a living. Yeah, he has a very successful podcast, but it's a lot different than, you know, being a caller commentator. Like, yeah, he would show up on College Game Day on occasion too.
Right.
But not seriously calling football games or anything like that. So to see how well he did on his first day, very surprising, very good for him. Good for Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I wasn't 100% surprised. I got to be honest with you, man, because I thought the guy's been building it. The guy's been building to this moment, so it wasn't a surprise to hear him do really, really well. Some people are just built to do this thing, man, and he is one of those guys. And I'm shocked. I'm just shocked how a punter has gotten to this position in professional wrestling, because there is no position that gets ridiculed more in the NFL than punter. And to see him turn it around and, you know, find a way to connect with so many fans and make his money as he's making it has been incredible. Because it wasn't like Pat McAfee was the greatest punter in the NFL. He was a guy who had an interesting name and then parlayed it into these situations. Just really smart and gifted and knows what he's doing, man. So you got to give it up. Hill Nellum said, Naomi is a locker room staple and beloved on Total Divas, so don't think they can let her go. True. Also, Aleister Black, not on the cut list. Am I being unrealistic and hoping this may be a sign for his return? Great point. Neither was Ricochet. So what do you think, Aaron?
Well, Hill, I can address your Aleister Black concerns, because there have been vignettes that have been filmed and are coming up with Aleister Black's return. So Aleister Black will be returning very, very soon to, I believe, Monday Night Raw is where he's coming. So that'll be good to see Aleister Black back. There were a couple things. There was an idea that I think was pitched out there. This was a rumor that was going around that Alexa would align herself with Aleister Black to go up against The Fiend, and I thought that would have been friggin' awesome. Wow. But we'll see what happens with Aleister Black. If they're going to go with another moody character on the same show, because they've already got The Fiend, they've got Alexa now with Lily, are they going to put Aleister Black in there too? Like, that'll be kind of weird and mixed up. So you may see him on SmackDown. I don't know. With the draft coming up too, who knows what we're going to see. But I will be pumped to see Aleister Black get back into action, because he's one of my favorites when he's on.
Oh, yeah. And he's one that a lot of us felt had not been booked correctly or not been booked well. So we've been desperate to see him get back on into the ring and get back in to, you know, showing what he can do overall as a wrestler, for sure. So, yeah, 1,000% agree. Hope it happens. Same thing for Ricochet. We'll see down the road. But I would have loved to have seen Alexa with The Fiend, or with Aleister. If that happens, that would be awesome. Once again, her putting someone over, her elevating someone, would be something. All right, Matt versus Darby was fire. Thoughts on Darby style, Aaron?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't watch it. I'm sorry. I didn't watch Dynamite this week. I only saw clips. I'm sorry. I did see the coffin drop on Matt, though. I thought that was pretty good. I'm always impressed with Darby because he seems to take it to a new level each time. I used to think that he was this, you know, just wacko, I like death matches cruiserweight guy, because I literally saw him in MLW jump off of a second story balcony just for fun onto somebody. So I always thought he was just this deathmatch guy, but he's really proven himself to have different styles and different things that he can do. Mm-hmm. And as that TNT champion, I didn't know if it was the right call to have him run with that, but so far I've been wrong. And to put him in there with a veteran like Matt Hardy that knows exactly how to get a guy over, it doesn't surprise me if they had a fire match. I'll have to watch it. So, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if it was great.
You just lined this up for my Saturday afternoon. So thank you, Grimash. I appreciate it madly. And thank you for your donations as well. Appreciate it. Thanks to everybody sending in the Streamlabs and Super Chats. And just to give you a little bit of that's what we were talking about there. All three of the champions, the lady champions, holding their belts proudly there in the NXT ring. And later on, afterwards, took a pretty fun picture with Triple H. There you go. Gotta love it, what they've got going on. And young. These are young champions. So clearly WWE is seeing that there's more opportunities here for these three ladies to show what they can do. And they'll lose belts and they'll get belts. So this is the game now. But this is a moment that should be recognized, the changing of the guard, for now at least, and we'll see what it yields down the road. And I think I'm the happiest, honestly. I know it's a great for Bianca and Sasha was an incredible moment. Rhea winning is great, but I'm more happy for Raquel Gonzalez. A lot of people really didn't expect her to beat Io Shirai. They thought she was just building her up and going to give her multiple opportunities, but she was never going to maybe win the belt. To have her win it was, to me, the most shocking victory of the of both pay-per-views that happened last week. So shout out to Raquel Gonzalez and another Latina. Respect, another Latina. All right, Aaron, I think that's it from us here on this episode of Strong Style. Thank you to all of you who watched us today. Had almost 90 of you watching us live. This is our time now, Saturdays at 12 p.m. PT, when Aaron's not moving houses. We will do the show live every Saturday. Yep. So we hope you'll make an appointment viewing for yourself, or at least appointment listening. Because remember, everything we do on the Outlaw Nation channel is on the Outlaw Nation podcast network. So if anything we missed or anything you want to go back and listen to again, download it and subscribe to the Outlaw Nation podcast network. But also subscribe down below to the Outlaw Nation channel, trying to get to 17,000 subscribers. Remember to give this video a like and a comment if you're watching after we've done it live. Aaron, any final words, and where can they find you, brother?
You can find me on Twitter at @OnlyAaronTurner. Still working on the office here, so that's why the sound is kind of bouncing around. So give me time. I'm going to get there. And I guess we will see you next week. I will be here ready to go with more Strong Style. I'm ready for it. And Trish Stratus shirt. What's up?
Oh, respect. I'm repping our show.
Yes,
our
sir.
Show. We got to make these more available for people.
They're readily available on TeePublic. You can get one. Yeah. Like, it's available.
There you go.
Plenty available, guys. TeePublic, Strong Style Live. Search it, you'll find it.
There you go. Strong Style Live. TeePublic, go and get it. And whenever they have those discounts, go get the shirts.
Or the stickers.
Yeah. Yes. Do all of that. Show us how much you love the show, what we're building here on Strong Style. All right. That's it from us. Love to all of you. Take care of yourselves. If you're getting vaccinated, good. Thank you. Do it. Get vaccinated. Wear your masks. Practice your social distancing. And then come back and see us. Oh, yeah. You can follow me at The Roca Says on Twitter and on Instagram. And we just put up our Falcon and Winter Soldier Episode 5 review. So this is your Saturday. After you're done with this, go and watch Aaron and I talking about WrestleMania on the Outlaw Nation show. Then watch the Falcon and Winter Soldier spoiler review with the Geek Buddies and Mike Kalinowski, all coming to you from the Outlaw Nation channel. All right, that's it. We're out of here. Much love to you. We'll talk to you next time on another brand new episode of Strong Style.